confusion fills my life, and my world inside is torn apart. When the road just seems too rough, and my courage might just grips my heart, I lift my eyes and see the one who died for me is standing there beside me and said so tenderly, "Child, I know I'm your God. Rest in all, the King of Glory is on your side. Let me bear all your pain and carry your load. Oh, be still, my child, and rest in me." When I lose the ones I love, and there's no one there to stand by me, or when all I have is gone, my dreams, my plans are all destroyed, I lift my eyes and see the one who died for me is standing there beside me, and he says so tenderly, "Child, and know I'm your God. Rest and know the King of Glory is on your side. Let me bear all your pain and carry your load. Oh, be still, my child, and rest in me." Let me bear all your pain and carry your load. Oh, be still, my child, and rest in me.
Thank you. Let's stand together, grab your Bibles this morning, and turn back to Luke chapter 15, if you could. Luke chapter 15. Of course, it will still be construction night tonight, so we'll still dress up tonight, and then we will go to work after the service tonight, so be ready. Just kidding. But we will dress up. We've been looking at the story of the prodigal son, and the first 2 weeks we looked at the son, the prodigal himself. Last week we looked at his brother. Today we're going to talk a little bit about him too. Luke chapter 15 and verse 22 to get us started here. Says, "But the father said unto his servants," now this is after the prodigal had come home. He had already went out, did his own thing, had a change of heart, came to himself, came back. Here's the father's response. "But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." They're going to have a party. That sounds good about right now, doesn't it? All right, we're dismissed. We'll eat and be merry later. "For this my son was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. They were having a great time. "Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing." So the older brother doesn't know what's going on. He comes back, he hears it, and says, "Hey, there's a party here." "And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It is meet that we should be merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you as we look at this story, Lord. There's so much we could get out of it. And I do pray that you would help us to learn lessons that would be good for us, so that, Lord, we're not like these men. We don't waste our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we have looked at the story of the prodigal son, we've been talking really about a wasted life. We talked in the first week about the prodigal, how he was in a bad situation because of the decisions he made. He had a wrong decision-making process, and it caused him to make bad decisions. And whenever we make bad decisions, it leads to bad actions, which lead to bad consequences. He lived for himself. He was selfish, and that was his problem. We did see on the good side that eventually, once he was in the pig pen, he came to himself. In other words, he realized this isn't the way to go, and he decided to go home to his father and get things right. That was the good part of the story. Then we decided we're going to look at his brother. His brother always gets hammered. Whenever you hear someone talk about the prodigal's brother, he is just scorched because of his reaction. Now, last week, we talked about the good aspects of the brother. The brother did have some good aspects. He did not make bad decisions. He was a solid worker. He was faithful to his father. So it was not all bad. He was actually, when it comes to that part of his life, he was a pretty good guy. But now it's time to look at the flip side. He had some issues. His issues were in his attitude. His actions were okay. His actions were right. If you just read his actions, any father would take that from his son. But when the brother came back, his reaction to his brother was not right because it was his attitude. Sometimes as Christians, we're like that. We think that, man, my relationship with God is great. It's Christians that I have problems with. How many of you feel like that sometimes? I guess I'm the only one. Okay, thank you. It's probably bad that I have that feeling, but pray for me. I'm working on it. We feel like that sometimes. But as we have mentioned here many times, and if you know anything a little bit about the Bible, you understand that our relationship with each other is really born out of our relationship with God. In other words, the two are very intertwined, and so they have to work together. If someone has a problem with Christians, they can't tell you that they're all right with God, because that's not going to happen. God tells us that. It starts in our attitude. Did you know your attitude is very important? I'm just going to quote some verses from Proverbs and say a few things by way of introduction. Do you know your attitude affects your health? Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Being happy has health benefits. Having a bad spirit or a bad attitude has negative qualities to our health. It affects our health. It affects our looks. And some of you need help. Now, me, I'm good. Don't laugh. Proverbs 15:13, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Yet someone that's just more joyful, they just have that, it's just something about their looks that's refreshing. They may not be beautiful, but it's like, man, they got a good, it's going. But you see someone with a bad spirit, it's like, I don't care how beautiful you are, you look ugly. It affects us. You know, when God came to Cain, he said, "Hey, what's going on?" And he goes, "Hey, why is your countenance fallen?" He knew something was wrong between the brothers because God knew everything, but he was just kind of goes, "Hey, I can tell by your face something's wrong." Our spirit affects our looks. Someone has said, if you're saved, tell your face, okay? I'm happy. Really? I'm convinced. It can affect how we endure in life. Proverbs 18:14 says, "A spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" You know, when we have a bad attitude and things come into our life we need to deal with, they seem a lot worse. They seem harder to get through, and it's simply because our attitude's taken a hit. And to be honest with you, it affects us spiritually. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You know, the walls were the main protection of a city back in the Bible days. If they didn't have walls, they were susceptible to all kinds of foreign attack. God's saying, if we don't have rule over our own spirit, it's going to affect us. We're going to have all kinds of things spiritually coming into our life. By the way, no one wants to be around someone with a bad attitude, a bad spirit. Now, by the way, we're all there every now and then, okay? Maybe we drive through that neighborhood every now and then, but we shouldn't park and move in. That's what happens. I was listening to messages one time, and the pastor was talking about people with a bad spirit. He said, you know, if I had a guy on my staff that had a bad attitude, I'd fire him. And he said, if I couldn't fire him, what I would do is I would rent him an office like miles away from the church, and I would pay him a salary to sit in that office and do nothing. Because an attitude, it spreads. And so we need to work on our attitude today. If we have a wrong attitude like the brother did, it sours how we look at life and others. So often if our attitude is wrong, we have a wrong out view on life, and we think it's life when really it's not life, it's us. We don't realize it's us. There was a story, a little girl and her mother went into the grocery store and they're going down the aisle. And the mother says to her little girls, she says, did you see that lady? She gave me a dirty look. And the little girl goes, oh, no, mommy, you had that when you came in. Okay? Our attitude. The biggest problem with the brother's attitude is what it did in his relationship with his brother. That's where attitudes kill us. They're relationship killers. And so that's why we need to deal with it. The brother had some major flaws and character defects in his attitude. Now, his actions were right. But we can't excuse our attitude because our actions are right. We need to make them both be in harmony with what God wants. What kind of attitudes did he have that causes problems in his relationship with his brother, and it'll cause problems in any relationship we have? Number one, he had a self-control problem. Self-control. And he was angry. Anger is a self-control issue. Now, let me say this. We all get upset at sometimes. If someone can't get upset, they probably don't have a pulse. Okay, we all get upset, but it's how we react when we get upset that shows if we have a self-control problem. If when you get out upset or there's a little bit of anger that creeps your heart and you're just totally full-blown out of control, you have a self-control problem. The brother was angry. The reason he was angry, of course, is because he didn't think it through. Proverbs 14:29 says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger again is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now look at what he's saying here. He's saying a person that can control their attitude, their anger, they are stronger than some big mighty guy that can go and lead an army and take a city. See, we like the big, tough, macho thing. And that same guy who's big, tough, and macho can't even control himself. That's where real strength is. And that's what we need to work on. We need to be able to control ourselves so we're not out of control. Out of control people just kill relationships. You can't even talk to each other. Why? Because there's so much anger. You want to be a strong person? Control yourself. Look at Samson, man. He could, one-man wrecking crew. He didn't need an army. He was the army. But there's one foe he couldn't defeat. It was himself. Just couldn't control himself. And it ultimately cost him. So, you know, I just get angry every now and then. You know, look, if you have holes in your wall at home, there's a problem. Unless you moved in and they were already there. Okay, if someone comes to visit your house and there's new pictures on the wall every week, there's a problem there. Okay, I like pictures. No, you don't. You got holes in the wall. Okay, if every time you get mad, the dog runs, it's a problem. By the way, if your kids cower in fear, there's a problem there. Now, the kids need to understand if they cross the line, there's an issue. And they ought to be, that ought to put them in check. But not this, is mom and dad just going to blow up tonight and lose it for something that's insignificant? Self-control. What does Proverbs say? 22:24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. It says, avoid them like the plague. Stay away from them. By the way, say, if you're in a relationship with somebody, you know, I'm recording, but, you know, that's a good guy. He just loses his temper. Run. Run. Ain't going to change. It's going to get worse. Stay away from him. I remember Kumali. Now, you shouldn't do this. I think it was Kumali. He said when he was dating his Mr. Rod, his wife, says, man, I tried to get her upset just to see how she react. Like, man, if you were doing that, she should have reacted by getting another guy. Okay? He was just trying to see, how does she react when she get upset? He got married. He knows now how she does. Do you have a self-control problem? It poisons every single relationship you will ever have. You'll never have good relationships, ever. And the older brother was angry. I think he should have been happy the brother was home. But he wasn't. So he had a self-control problem. Number two, he had a selfish problem. Just flat out selfishness. The verse there. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I. By the way, the statements he's making are right as a testimony to what he did. The inference to the importance of it is wrong. It was all focused on himself. He said, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. When life is all about us, we quickly get angry when things do not go our way. It's all about us. I, me, my. Well, how come I don't have a party? Well, I'll tell you a good reason you didn't have a party, because you never ran away. And your brother's home, maybe he ought to have a party. He didn't see that. He looked at it. Everything was through the lens of, how does this affect me? That's not the way to have it. He should have been focused on the fact that his brother was back. He couldn't rejoice that his brother came to himself and returned, which he should have. Now, we don't have this problem in our church, but I know churches where they get upset if bus kids come in and they put their handprints on the wall. By the way, I don't want the kids putting the handprints on the wall. That irritates me. But you know what? It's what it is. We have the daycare at the house, and the kids go to the bathroom, and they run through the hallway, and you know, it's like a frame, but there's no door there. And they all, you know how kids are, when they run around, they grab it with their hand. And it gets dirty there, and it has to be clean. But if I'm in there and I see him, I'm like, hey, you don't have to grab the wall when you run by it. Okay? I'm not being mean to him. I'm trying to teach him. You don't need to do that. We get all upset about things. He thought his brother didn't deserve a party. By the way, he was right. Neither do we. You know, there's certain people coming to church, look, if our church looked just like church people, we are doing something wrong. Church is for everybody. I don't want you, it's not a museum for saints. We're not on display. Okay? No, it's for everybody. Everybody's welcome. We're gonna get in that new building it's gonna paint on the wall. It looks so good. Some little brat's gonna put ice cream on it. I'm glad they came to church. We'll wipe the ice cream off. We'll find the bus worker and say, hey, control your kid next time. But we're glad they came. Yeah. They're going to spill something on the carpet. Now, we'll fight them. They spill it here. But I'm glad they're coming to church. If that building's all about getting in there and getting comfortable and it's all about us, and I don't want, then let's burn it down now. Yeah. Amen. Okay? It's about people are more important. Now, let's be under control. We're not going to let things go crazy. But he missed the point. The point was his brother was back. But all he thought about was himself. Think about all that God has given to us that we don't deserve. And I'm talking about you and I. I love Lamentations chapter 3. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. It's almost like it's because of God's mercy that he doesn't just say, you know what? Enough of you spitting in my face. Or you get a little ant and you're done with you. But God's like, I'm not here to do that. I love you. And it's because of what everything we have we don't deserve. Well, they don't deserve it. Neither do you. And by the way, some of us that have been cleaned up and people come into church that are new and have issues, hey, why don't you remember who you were?
Yes, sir.
I remember who you were. I remember who you were, Robert. You remember who I was. We were the guys that used to have a lot more hair. Okay? Listen, it's not about us. But when we do, that's why our attitude takes a hit.
Yes, sir.
Because it's all we look through. Let's not have a selfishness problem. We're like the laborers sometimes. You know, I won't read the verses in Matthew chapter 20 where the man goes out at the beginning of the day and he hires laborers. He goes, you guys come and work with me all day. I'll give you a penny. Now, that was a day's wages back then. That was fair, very honestly fair. And then 3 hours later, he finds some other guys. They hadn't got a job yet. He goes, why don't you come work for me? I'll just pay you what's fair. I'll just pay you whatever's fair at the end of the day. Then 3 hours later, he goes and hires, and he does this every 3 hours all day long. So he, at the end of the day, he had some guys that only work 1 hour. And they came in, and he paid them a penny. Now, they didn't agree. He just said, I'll pay you what's fair. And he goes, you know, I'll be generous. I'll give him a penny. Then he pays the guys that were there, you know, 3 hours and 6 hours and 9 hours. And the guys that are getting there 12 hours said, boy, if the guys that were there an hour got a penny, I'm going to get more. And he gave them a penny, and they got mad. And he's like, didn't I agree with you for a penny? It wasn't that fair when I hired you? And they're like, well, yeah. He goes, then why are you upset that I can be nice to somebody else? I can do what I want with mine. Isn't that how we are?
Yeah.
We're okay as the breaks go our way. But when the breaks go someone else's way, how do we react? And if you're saved and you're still upright and you're still alive, the breaks have went your way. Number three, we see a separation problem. A separation problem. He goes to the party, he hears the music, he calls one of the servants out and says, hey, hey, what's going on over here? And they're like, hey, I'm having a party. Your brother's back, man. The calf's on. You know, it's not the kind of party some of you were at last night. It's a different type of party. Okay, not where you were at, Brother Garcia. Something a little bit different. A little more Christian, okay? And so, you know, they're here. Hey, what's going on here? And I said, hey. And then it says this. And he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He said, I'm going to show him. I'm going to make a public statement that I am not happy about this. What, that your brother came home? What, that your brother who was living in a pig pen, that your father was concerned about and probably was fretting about, he's home, and you're going to make a statement that doesn't make you happy? Isn't that how we are? We're children. Well, I just won't do this. People avoid conflicts. They don't want to learn what is right. They don't want to deal with an issue head on. Why didn't he go talk to the dad about it? Why did the dad have to come out and talk to him and say, you know, dad, I'm concerned a little about this. What's going on? Dad could, hey, listen. Maybe he could have talked some sense into him. But that's not how we do things, is it? We want to show a separation there so we can show there's a division so we can cause strife. See, that's causing more strife. I wonder what the servants were saying, like, how come the brother's out there throwing a fit? Shouldn't we be happy that the prodigal's back? Shouldn't this be a, and then there's some confusion there, and it can cause some trouble now, can it? Now, I know this would never happen in our church or in our families, but isn't that how it happens sometimes? People have an issue, and they start to sow discord. Let me just say this, and I know that is not scriptural. And God hates it. God's hateless. He that soweth discord among the brethren. I have a problem. Let's see who I can have a problem with today. I have a problem with John Castle. That's too close to home. I have a problem with John Castle. Now, what's the Christian thing to do? The brother should have called the dad out and said, I don't understand why you acted like this, Dad. What's going on here? And they could have worked it out, and Dad could have said, your brother's home. It's not that I don't want to give you a party. You're a great guy. I'm so glad that you're my son and you're faithful, but, man, I want your brother to know we missed him. That would have made sense. So I don't go to John. I go over here, Brother Pacharo. Hey, Brother Pacharo, let me just tell you something. John mistreated me. I just want you to know that. Isn't he a bad guy? Well, actually, he is. You know, I go to somebody else. No, I wouldn't go to Chip for anything. Go to Chip. Hey, Chip, I'm telling you, John mistreated me. I'm staying away from John. He's a problem. Now, first of all, why is it Chip's business? Why is it Brother Pichardo's business? Why is it anybody's business? Do you understand that's, I'm going to be nice here. That is ungodly. That's children. Little children on a playground. I'm upset with you. Let's not hang around with her today because, you know, she has peanut butter and jelly. And after all, people are allergic to peanuts now. They won't even serve them on planes. And she's trying to kill everybody in the school. I'm pretty sure about it. Yeah, pretzels. That's not how we deal with things. That's trying to sow discord. That brother, he may not have understood it, but he was making a statement by his presence, and he was causing more. By the way, if anybody ever tries to do that in a church, don't listen to them. If someone comes to you and starts griping about somebody else, here's all you need to hear. They're the problem. That was free. Don't listen. Someone wants to come gripe about someone to me, it's like, have you talked to them first? Well, you go deal with them. It has nothing to do with me unless they're killing people in the church, and then we'll fix it. Children do. It's all over our society. Let's not have that. Problems are to be fixed. They're not to be fatal, and they're not to be shared. You're dealing with look, if I have a problem with John, the best way is him and I to get together. And by the way, if we get together, we'll hash it out. He'll probably buy me dinner. I hope so. A separation problem. We got to hurry. Number four, we see a snubbing problem. Okay? But as soon as this is a brother talking to the dad. You gave him, he went off and he did his own. But as soon as this, thy son was come. Do you get the little knife dig there? Yeah. You know, it's like when you come home from work and your wife says, your children got in trouble at school. I thought they were our children. How come they're your children when they get A's and they're my children when they get demerits? Okay? My child got an A+. Your child got suspended. It's like, I thought we were in on this thing together. Right? He didn't say, hey, I heard something years ago. I heard a guy, and I thought it was really good. He was talking about when his children come and gripe about the other child. He said he never let his children refer to another child by a pronoun. He said, she hit me. He's like, her name's not she. Who are you talking about here? You know, Susan hit me. Okay, do you understand that? He wants them to put a name to it. That's not another person. That's your sister. And that's what he's doing here. That's his brother. Okay, he's snubbing him. The problem here in his mind supplanted the relationship. What's he saying by doing that? He's like, I don't want to deal with the relationship because the problem's more important to me. No, the person needs to be more important. That's where we get in trouble in our relationships. Because the person is not more important than the problem in our minds. We let the problem poison the relationships where the fact of the matter is, let's put the relationship first and let's heal that and we'll be able to deal with the problems. But we don't do that. we get ourselves in trouble. Next, he had a smearing problem. It says, when this is thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. He goes, Dad, just in case you don't remember, he took what you earned and gave to him, and he wasted it on prostitutes and partying. Now look, they didn't need a history lesson. When someone comes back and they want help or they want to get something right, they don't need you to throw their history in their face. They need a history lesson when they're not repentant. When they're not saying, I made a bad decision. Oops. I got to get that right. What they need us to do is say, hey, the past is done. You're back. Let's get you some forgiveness. Let's work this thing out. But we smear them, don't we? Here's what happens when people argue sometimes. Okay, because nobody in our church would ever fight. They argue. We have a situation, we have a disagreement about, say, how we, something with the kids, the children. So instead of dealing with the situation, we attack the other person. You notice the difference? Well, you're just this and you're just that and you're, oh, wait a minute, I thought we were talking about the problem here. When did this become an attack session? You deal with the issue. But in arguments that sometimes turn to disagreements, which sometimes may even turn to a fight, we attack the other person instead of deal with the problem. That never works. That never works. He's attacking the brother. He's bringing, by the way, and don't bring up past, once you deal with something, it's over. Don't always dig it up. Some of the problems in your lives, you've buried it and dug it up so many times, why even bother to throw the dirt back in? Just leave the coffin open. That doesn't help. Smearing. Always bringing up the past. Using things against people. And then the last thing is this. It's just basically a self-righteous problem. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. You know what he's saying? He doesn't deserve it. By inference, you know what he's saying? I do. You should have gave me one for my friends. You should have had a party for me. We should have had a great time, and not him. Self-righteous. If we would only see ourselves from God's perspective, we would realize that none of us are perfect. Our battle is against sin, not those who do sin. Our problem is not when someone is with what they've done wrong so we can help them get that right, not the person who has done wrong. You realize people all over the Bible had issues. You do know that. Oh, the Apostle Paul, what a great man. He wrote most of the New Testament, and he killed a lot of the people in the early church too. In the early days, you didn't invite Paul to the fellowships. If he showed up, it was a problem. Abraham lied. His son Isaac lied. We already understood. We preached David was an adulterer. Peter, what a wonderful guy. He swore and said, I don't even know who Jesus is. As Jesus was facing a very critical part of his life where he was going to be killed. Let's not be so self-righteous. As pastor used to always say, that halo of yours is being held up by two horns. Okay? Yeah. We don't deserve anything. We ought to rejoice. Sometimes in a church, and it hasn't happened at ours, but I've been in churches where some new person will come in and they get saved and God starts working their life, man, and people get to know them and they're doing things and people, I've been here forever. How come I didn't get a pat on the back? How come they didn't do that for me? And maybe that's a mistake on our part. We appreciate everything you do, but we just want to rejoice in those whose lives God's changing. You ought to rejoice too. Yes, sir. How's your attitude today? You say, my attitude's good, but all the people I fight with, their attitude stinks. Well, then invite them to church, and we'll preach this again for them, okay? It's like, So I don't have, it's Bill and Tom and Mary and Susie. I have a problem with all of them. And they don't have a problem with anybody else. What's the common denominator? You. It's our attitude. By the way, we all fight it. But if we're going to act like the brother, we're going to have relationship problems. I wish that the story ended with, and the brother realized he was wrong. And he ran thither towards his brother and embraced him and said, I doth miss thee. I art so glad that thou art back. Let us barbecue together. Doesn't say that. I hope that's what happened. But why don't we, when we have issues, let's look at ourselves. Is there an attitude in our life that is causing the problem? If it is, you know what we need to do? We need to adjust it. Oh, but that other person, I'm positive they have an attitude too. And you know what? That may be right. But you can't change somebody else's attitude. There's only one attitude you can change in any disagreement, and that's yourself. And so why don't we do what we can? Let's be what we can be. Worst case scenario, if it doesn't work out, at least we can stand before God and say, I'm doing everything I can to fix this thing. But I have a feeling that if we have the right attitude, things will work out just a little bit better. Let's not be like the older brother. Now, let's be like his actions last week, but let's not be like his attitude. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes. Thank you for listening this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed.